We're going to call the State Government Finance Committee meeting to order. Members, we've got a couple of things to go over today, so thank you for coming on time. First thing I want to do is, I think, Representative Anderson, you have looked at the minutes. Would you like to make a motion?
I would like to move the motion to move the minutes.
Okay. Representative Anderson has moved the minutes for January 28th, 2015. All those in favor of those minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The minutes for January 28th, 2015 are approved. Okay. And with that, members, we're going to start off. We have with us some folks to talk a little bit about the change in law last year for HITA. We have with us today Misty Myers from the National Joint Powers Alliance. Misty, if you could come to the front table and please announce yourself and state with who you're with, and that will be part of the record, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Members of the committee, my name is Misty Myers. I'm the attorney for the National Joint Powers Alliance, which is one of the nine service cooperatives that was created by Minnesota state statute in the 70s.
Okay, and Ms. Myers, you know, and for the members as well, last year this piece of legislation was passed into law. State Government Finance Committee was responsible for allocating funds for this, and so that's why we're reviewing this today to see what kind of results that we had from this piece of legislation. And Ms. Myers, can you give us a little feedback on how the process worked and what can you tell us about this program that's been in place now since last year?
The National Joint Powers Alliance operates an insurance pool on behalf of 28 members. Approximately 50% of those are school districts, which would fall under the HITA requirements. And so what NJPA did on behalf of those school districts was go out to bid for insurance products in a complete insurance plan, ASO as they call them. We did contact PEEP as part of that. We followed HITA because we were bidding on behalf of school districts, so we followed those requirements strictly on behalf of our school districts, and solicited bids from Health Partners, Medica, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Preferred One, and PEEP. So those entities were all given the RFP documents, including all the claims information that was required. And that was on July 21st, 2014. PEEP was sent that at 9:03 a.m. On July 1st, 2014, 10:47 a.m., Mr. Byrne from Inovo Benefits and Marketing responded with an email to David Jessup, our risk manager. It says, "Hi, David, thank you for sending the RFP bid document. It does not appear that this would be a proper fit for PEEP, so we are declining to quote. Thanks, Sean." So that was approximately 100 minutes after the bid document was received. The Health Partners, Medica, Blue Cross Blue Shield all provided quotes for individual entities within the pool. It wasn't an aggregate, if you will. It was all individually quoted. So they were all able to do that within the allotted time. No one from PEEP asked NJPA any questions, no clarifying questions about what the RFP was. And after that, in September, I believe, a representative from Education Minnesota sent an email to the superintendents of various schools within our pool. The July or January 1, if they had a January 1 renewal, they were sent a letter saying that it was illegal. And I would say that we do operate via the Joint Powers Statute, which allows governments to act on behalf of other government entities and school districts. The Joint Powers Agreement that we have for our pool does specify that the school districts, as well as cities and counties that are in our pool, are giving NJPA the authority to solicit bids on their behalf for health insurance and other insurance products, stop loss, things like that.
So, Ms. Myers, so he was saying that you guys acting on behalf of the school districts was considered illegal?
Correct.
Okay.
And that the school districts needed to go out to bid individually. And one of the pieces that's troublesome is that the purpose for service co-ops in general is to provide services for school districts, cities, counties, and other local governments, kind of lessen the burden financially and other non-monetary resources such as time and things of that nature. And so by prohibiting the service co-ops from being able to go out to bid on behalf of school districts, cities, and counties, it puts a huge burden on the school districts.
Ms. Myers, I'm going to pause you for a moment. And Mr. Shepherd, if maybe you could help us out again. Kind of review through, as I understood the law, there was nothing in the law that prohibited school districts from still operating on a service cooperative level to seek these bids. Is that the case, or was there something in statute that said that the schools would have to individually seek those bids? Do you know by chance?
Madam Chair, in my brief review of the law without having talked to folks, I don't think there's anything specific that addresses it exactly in that manner.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Shepherd. And we'll make sure that we verify that through the other research staff that follow this issue more closely. Ms. Myers, if you could, do you have any other further comments? Otherwise, I think if you can just kind of stay in the wings, I'd like to maybe have you come back in a little bit. Do you have any other?
Just one clarifying question. I know that there was a letter sent from Minnesota Management and Budget, and it indicated that the NJPA RFP, or request for proposal, was simply for third-party administrator services, and that is inaccurate. It was for complete insurance products. So,
okay. Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would appreciate a clarification, and I don't know who could provide it, but are your schools, were they once a service co-op and then decided to go to joint powers board? Or, I mean, what is the difference in the organizational structure? And otherwise, are you the same as the service co-op in terms of what you do for schools?
The National Joint Powers Alliance is a service cooperative, and the school districts and other government entities join through joint powers agreements. They're members of the co-op, if you will. So the school districts are, when they sign the joint powers agreement to join the pool, specifically the insurance pool, they're allowing NJPA, the joint powers board of the pool, to operate on behalf of the school districts, if that makes sense.
Representative Runbeck.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure, but it sounds like they're pretty much the same kind of an entity, just different name.
The pool is a joint powers entity that was created by the service cooperative.
Okay. All right, thanks.
All right. Representative Luna.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The service co-op, do they do any recommendations as far as coverages? I know you can, for instance, on a school district, I'm a former school board member, and the demographics of from district to district may vary, and what is appropriate or functional use of insurance premium may be different for someone with a young market versus a seasoned set of teachers or employees. Do you people offer that advice? Is that part of the agreement, or are they on their own?
Ms. Myers.
The pool has an executive committee that's made up of representatives from all of the different types of entities that are involved in the pool, and so the recommendations to the Joint Powers Board come from the members of the pool. And maybe I'm not clear as to what exactly you're asking. The claims, the proposals that come in from the insurance companies are individual to each district.
Representative Luna.
Where I'm going with this is I come from an insurance background as well, and the year after year or year over year, looking at loss runs as such, you see the nature of some of the claims, which would tell, in this case, a school district, whoever the purchaser is of the service, what is the best coverage to purchase and what may be coverage that they don't, in fact, need. And that data, I'm assuming someone's harvesting that data, or maybe the individual districts are doing it on their own, but my assumption is, and maybe we'll find this out later, that they get advised to keep that information, and someone's saying, well, here's endorsements you should be adding to your contract, here's exclusions you should be putting in your contract that you shouldn't be paying for. I'm just wondering if someone is advising them on that. Is that part of this agreement?
That's not part of the what NJPA, what the pool does for the districts. They can obviously get that information on their own.
Representative Loon.
Thank you.
All right. With that, thanks, Ms. Myers. If you can stick around for a little bit, that would be helpful. I wanted to make sure that we got to Commissioner Franz, though. I understand that he needs to leave by 9 a.m. So, Commissioner Franz, if you want to come down. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Welcome.
Thank you, Myron Franz, Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget, and members of the committee. Good morning. I brought Mr. Anderson. I'll let him identify himself and his title for you.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Scott Anderson. I work for Minnesota Management and Budget, and I'm the manager of the Minnesota Public Employees Insurance Program.
Well, you brought the right name. Thank you.
Thank you. We may be related.
Yes. Who knows? Commissioner and Mr. Anderson, what we're looking for is, and correct me on the number, it's roughly $300,000 that was allocated last year. I'm sure you'll have the exact number for us. Can you tell us what has happened with the funds that the legislature allocated to the Public Employee Insurance Program, also known as PEEP, and give us the details of how much has been spent from that fund, how those dollars were spent, and so forth. So if you can give us a detailed budget of the dollars that were allocated, that would be helpful. And Mr. Anderson, I assume that you're the one that's...
I am. Madam Chair, I don't know if I brought a copy of the report that I submitted to you and a few others as required by statute. I'm looking for that now. What I can say is that it was $294 that was allocated, and that I do have a copy, excuse me. What I can say is that the underwriting expenses that we expended between July 1st and December 31st on behalf of 20 school districts that requested quotes and upon which we provided quotes totaled $39,074.25. Which averaged $1,953.71 per quote. When we prepared the fiscal note, our estimate was approximately, I don't have a copy of that with me, but I believe it was approximately $1,750 per quote. So our estimate was reasonable. We only received quote requests from 20 districts. Since then, Mr. Byrne, who is our third-party administrator, will have the exact numbers, but we've received close to a couple hundred additional requests for quotes, which we will be providing for those groups that renew on July 1st.
And Mr. Anderson, can you explain to me, you know, exactly what was the purpose of the funds, and what are they? You said you have another couple hundred that are coming down the pike. Can you kind of walk through that, or is it more appropriate to have Mr. Byrne come forward? Well, he's on the list, but...
Madam Chair, the funding, I think, would probably be more appropriate answered by me. Okay. I believe the funds, we didn't request the funds. The funds were put in the finance omnibus bill or something. They were intended to pay for the quotes that were prepared on behalf of every school district in the state that is now required to obtain a bid every other year, every 2 years. The $294,000 was an estimate that I made or helped make in calculating the $1,750 average times the number of school districts in the state. That's how I came up with the number that we put into the fiscal note as an estimate of the cost.
And Mr. Anderson, what kind of oversight does MMB have over the PEEP fund? What do you guys do to manage that? I know that's one of your responsibilities, and I don't know if this is Commissioner Franz, is this something more under your purview? But what role does MMB have over managing PEEP, since it's part of your responsibility?
Madam Chair, once again, I think Mr. Anderson will be the better explainer there.
Sure, Madam Chair. MMB has basically total control over the PEEP trust fund. The $294,000 that was recently put into our account is about the only general fund money that's contained in our trust fund. All of our expenses, all of our claims, everything is paid from the member premiums and interest earnings.
Okay, and Mr. Anderson, how much is in the trust fund?
Well, annually, the program is roughly $90 million in premiums.
And Mr. Anderson, how much is used out of that $90 million in premiums per year? I mean, how does that work?
Madam Chair, it's a constant cash flow. We bill premium on a monthly basis. We're paid that premium, and out of that, we pay our administrative expenses. We pay the claims to our three administrative carriers. We reimburse them for the claims that need to be paid to the providers. It's a self-insured pool, and money that is not expended on either expenses or claims goes to our contingency reserve.
I think it might be helpful, Mr. Anderson, for the members to have kind of a detail of how the budget works for out of the trust fund, how much is spent on administrative expenses and so forth. And I realize you won't have that here today, but if you could send that to us, we'll make sure it's distributed to the members.
Then. We will certainly do that. I do know, Madam Chair, that the a lot of the details contain in the CAFR, and we will make sure that you get that.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Members, I apologize for hogging them at this moment. Does anybody have any questions at all? Representative Lunan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your loss ratio on that $90 million, from a percentage standpoint, do you know what that is? If you take in a dollar, how many pennies are going towards actual claims, which leaves what percent is going towards other things?
Madam Chair, Representative, that's a number that I don't have. I will forward that along with the information that's contained in the CAFR regarding our finances. What I can say is that the loss ratio is under one. It's making money. It's funding its reserves, and it's in good shape.
And Representative Lunan.
Well, yeah, what I'm looking for on that is the pure loss ratio, not your total loss ratio, taking out any expenses that you have, just what's actually paying medical claims.
Madam Chair, Representative, I can calculate that and probably get it to you. What we do calculate our loss ratios on a group-by-group basis. Pool-wide, I would have to do some calculations, and again, I can provide that to the committee.
Representative Lunan.
And the thank you, Madam Chair. The RFPs, are those uniform? You said you did 20 of them. The mechanics that do for that are all uniform across the 20.
Madam Chair, Representative, the requests for bids come in all different forms. Again, Mr. Byrne, my administrator, can speak because he receives them directly. But what I can say, I'd like to address the NJPA RFP, if I may. When we received it, it was reasonably clear to us that this was not requesting quotes on behalf of these schools. We've never refused to quote a school. We're obligated to respond to any quote received directly from the school district. We did not. What we received, and this is the title page of the RFP, if I may, it is a request for proposal for the procurement of medical claims and administrative services, specificate and aggregate stop loss, and Prescription Drug Claims Administration. Madam Chair and members, those are similar services to what we as a program purchase. PEEP would issue RFPs for those kinds of services. PEEP does not provide those kinds of services. Those are administrative services that are typically provided to an insurance provider. The NJPA and the other service co-ops are classified as group health coverage providers in 471. Now, ironically, the employees of a service co-op can get their coverage through PEEP. We never have covered one, but it is possible. They're an eligible employer in the PEEP statute. This was obvious that it was not for that. We looked through here. Mr. Byrne called me as soon as he received it, and he said, am I missing something? Can we read through this? And we read through it. And what we saw was a request for administrative services, again, which we are not authorized by statute to provide, not set up to provide. The desire for a nationwide solution to their needs, which we...
Confusion, there certainly would be time within the RFP timeline to handle questions of that type. I'll have to say, in discussing it, it seemed that it was very pointedly outside of the realm of PEEP. So, I mean, if it was a very minor area, very shaded area, I agree with your thought, you know, let's talk and see what, you know, what would be the best way to handle it. But it seemed to be so completely outside of our realm, we thought the, from my side, that I thought the best response was to say that this doesn't fit for us, you know, and, you know, I guess could have said, you know, tell me why I'm wrong, might have been something could have added, but it just didn't seem a proper fit. But we responded as soon as possible to make sure that there was still time to react to that.
Representative Petersburg. Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, thank you. Question for Mr. Byrne or Mr. Anderson. You say that the cost per bid is $1,900, and I'm not in insurance like Representative Lunan is, and I'm just curious, is that a common number? Is that an appropriate number to expend to generate a quotation for that $1,900?
Mr. Byrne or Mr. Anderson?
Madam Chair, if I may, Representative, that number was developed by taking hundreds of bids that we have developed over the last couple of years and simply accounting for the amount of money that was expended by the number of bids. And all of that expense is generated by our underwriters and consultants at Deloitte Consulting. These are actuaries and insurance experts that do the underwriting. We don't do that in-house.
Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, no further question.
Okay, and Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Perhaps I've never sat on the committee, so I'm not certain of all that went on with why PEEP was established. It seems to me this is a separate insurance agency set up by government to provide insurance to school districts, kind of passing over what school districts were doing on their own through service co-ops. And I'm wondering what the benefit then of PEEP is and why we do this.
Mr. Anderson?
Madam Chair, Representative, I was not involved in the creation of PEEP. It's been around for about 25 years. I've managed it for the last 15. I can say that it does provide a valuable service to public employers, not just school districts. We cover roughly 18,000 lives currently. It is, we've had some groups that have been with us for 25 years that see it as a very good solution. It's patterned after the insurance that we all have as state employees under CGIP, the State Employees Group Insurance Program. So it's a valuable way of providing an option for public employers in the state to cover their employees through a self-insured pool.
Representative Runbeck.
Madam Chair sir, how 18,000 persons are you're insuring? What is your expectation then if you have, apparently this school districts are just now available to you as a potential client? And how many, so what is your opportunity there for new members?
Mr. Byrne? Or
if
Mr. Anderson?
Madam Chair, Representative. Schools have always been an eligible employer for the purposes of providing coverage to their employees through PEEP. All public employers in the state, with the exception of local or state and federal employees, are eligible to participate in PEEP.
Representative Runbeck.
Well, Madam Chair, if I could get some clarity on what happened last year in terms of some mandate then that school districts must seek your bid, at least. Take a look at it. They don't have to, but they have to look at it. Is that right?
Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative Runbeck. Yes, I believe the notion is that every school should at least see a PEEP quote every couple years. Not necessarily to come into PEEP, but at least to make a comparison of where they're at.
Representative Runbeck.
Right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Runbeck, you raised some important issues. I'm just curious, why did the state decide to give money to PEEP Because it sounds like they're much in competition to the private sector that offers these services. Why did we decide to give money to PEEP when they've got $90 million in premiums each year? What was the reason of feeling that they needed money on top of the $90 million that they collect in premiums to do these bids? And how does that correlate with everybody else that seeks bids in the bidding process? Mr. Anderson?
Madam Chair, I believe, again, in the fiscal note, the request was, what is the cost to state government of providing mandatory bids to school districts? The $294,000 was the estimate that I put in the fiscal note, that that's what it was going to cost state government to provide this service. I am unable to answer why the money was actually allocated. I had nothing to do with that. That the authors of HIDA, I would hopefully be able to answer that.
Okay. Thank you. And I've got Representative Schultz, Kahn, Lane, Albright, and Lunan. If you're not on the list and want to be, just let me know. Okay. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Anderson, just help me understand this. You said that you received a request from NJPA, but that you don't provide some of the services they were requesting bids on. Is that correct?
Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative, that is correct. The title page, again, if I may, says that they are issuing an RFP for the procurement of medical claims and administrative services. PEEP procures those same services from Health Partners, Blue Cross, and Preferred One. We purchase the medical claim and administrative services. Specific and aggregate stop loss. Again, that is something that PEEP has purchased. That's not something that we can provide. We're not authorized to provide stop loss. And prescription drug claims administration. PEEP purchases, as does CGIP, the State Employees Group Insurance Program, our pharmacy benefit management services through Navitus. Again, something we're not allowed or statutorily authorized to provide.
Representative Schultz.
Madam Chair, thank you, Mr. Anderson. Also, was the idea behind this PEEP to make sure you get more groups together to spread the risk, so to increase the pool of people to spread that risk, to lower costs to public employees, organizations?
Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative, again, I can't speak to the impetus of PEEP. It was done in I believe, 1987. It was the creation. So the genesis of PEEP, I can't really speak to. I can say that it does have that effect. And while it doesn't necessarily lower costs for individual groups, what it does is make them more predictable because they're pooled together instead of very high and low peaks and valleys in their rates. They're very smooth, and they will increase roughly the same as medical trend.
Thank you.
So it kind of sounds like, thank you, Representative Schultz. So it kind of sounds like PEEP wants to become a service cooperative themselves. We've got Representative Kahn.
Oh, I have one more question.
Okay.
Sorry.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How many school districts have joined PEEP, and have they realized cost savings, if given that they may not have joined and sought accept your bid?
And Mr. Anderson, if you could highlight which school districts that you're going to refer to.
Madam Chair, Representative, I'll let Mr. Byrne talk to which school districts are in, but there are roughly 85, I believe, Mr. Byrne.
Mr. Byrne?
Madam Chairman, within the PEEP pool, we have approximately 68 school districts, and to answer Representative's question, I feel the program's been very successful at controlling costs. Since we created this pool of schools roughly 8 years ago, our average renewal increase has been approximately 1.7%, which is an excellent number. I haven't seen any number that comes close to meeting that.
Okay. Representative Kahn.
Well, I think most of the points have actually been made by the testifiers. But PEEP was, and I'm pretty sure I was involved in the creation of it, but it gets harder and harder to remember things that were more than a week old. But I think the basic thing was to follow the state model and to give public employees a plan that would imitate the state model. And you know, legislators and public officials are often criticized for taking care of themselves, giving themselves good medical benefits and so forth, and saying if they had to do what the rest of the world did, you know, think we might be a lot more generous to people below us. But I think that was the issue. I think it started, it started kind of slowly, but I think as people have seen the benefits, it will kind of increase. And I guess I wasn't involved in the, the decision to bring school districts into it. But it is a voluntary choice, and I thought you guys always believed that competition was a good thing and giving people choices was a good thing.
Well, thank you, Representative Kahn. I don't know if it's really that voluntary when you require school districts to do the bid every 2 years. And if I understand, maybe Mr. Anderson, you can help me, or Mr. Shepherd can help me too. I don't think that CGIP has to go out for bid every 2 years. I think that's unique to this whole PEAT process. So I think we're doing something different that we don't actually do for ourselves too. So I think that's kind of the unique component. I'll go on to Representative Lane. You had some questions.
Thank you. More comments. First of all, any entity, big business, that's big enough to go self-insured does. General Mills, all these big companies, they are self-insured in their medical insurance because it saves them money. School districts are actually us. We create them. They're public employees that they're covering. And to have a self-insured possibility is wonderful. It saves money, as he has just said. We ask them simply to ask for the quote every couple of years. Just check and see if you can save money this way, because likely you can, but if you can't, that's fine. Now, service cooperatives have been trying to do a little piece of this with a number of little districts to support their districts in this fashion. But we are asking the individual districts to check and see if PEEP can save them money. In this case, something totally different happened. The request was inappropriate for what PEEP does. Something came from a service cooperative that's national and says, "Do you do that? Do you have this?" And they said, "Well, we don't do that." And so they're not supposed to ask and say, "Well, are you really asking something else?" The company that you expect to be professional, you expect to ask them the correct question. So to ask them to have question them back was odd. So here comes a totally different request that doesn't fit. It's inappropriate. They give the answer, and we're hollering at them as if they did something wrong. Now, we just found out that the districts that do join PEEP have managed to control their costs to 1.7% increase for health care costs. Think about it. 1.7% increase over 8 years for health care costs. That's wonderful. So here is PEEP doing what we ask it to do for public employees in a self-insured program. Somebody asks an inappropriate question, and we go crazy. I don't understand this.
Thank you, Representative Lane. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Anderson, the organization PEEP's been around for 25 years, and currently it covers 18,000 lives. And we support PEEP through the state budget for the purposes of facilitating the bidding process. I'm just curious, first, and maybe a couple questions. If PEEP were a standalone organization without the support of another entity, would it be a viable program just covering 18,000 lives?
Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative, as to the viability, I'm not quite sure. I suspect not. There is a lot of benefit that the program receives by being housed at MMB. And as far as being supported by another entity, this $294,000 that was recently appropriated is the only non-PEEP money that PEEP has used or received in 20-some years. I believe at the outset there was some sort of police and fire fund appropriation made, which was since paid back to get the program started. But the program is entirely self-sufficient. There are no state dollars involved with PEEP.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Anderson, to that point, maybe a little segue. If it is for just purely adjudication of claims, and you're receiving $90 million in premiums just to cover expenses for those that are insured in the pool, I'm curious why that pool hasn't grown to be a more attractive opportunity for other organizations such as you've described, if the bidding process is, as some would say, voluntary, but I think it's written in the statute that it is a shall versus a may. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that we're asking or offering it. It's required. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious why, in light of a 1.6% increase, you don't have people knocking your door down.
Mr. Anderson?
Madam Chair, Representative, I would have the same question. PEEP has not always been mm-hmm. in the shape it is now. Up until about 8 or 10 years ago, it was actually in the hole. We had a negative reserve. And I made changes that have gotten us to the point we are now. I testified earlier that I will not reduce the premium required to cover the claims and expenses of a group. There are often times that if our bid happens to be slightly lower than another bid received, that other bid may somehow get lower than PEEP. In other words, PEEP is often used to hold others' feet to the fire and reduce expenses. That's happened numerous times.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so, to that point, are you the point person for receiving bids from other entities on behalf of your client, and then you're providing your own bid to them, or are those bids coming directly to the client outside of the purview or the review of your agency as you would provide your own bid to that client?
Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative, I'd like to make a distinction between my understanding of how the service co-ops work and how we work. We provide no services other than group insurance coverage to our members. We would certainly not file an RFP on behalf of a member. We're not authorized to do that. We would not provide any kind of purchasing services. That is not what PEEP is. PEEP is a group insurance plan for public employers and their public employees. So we would not see, if a group requested a bid from two carriers and PEEP, PEEP provides one of those bids. It does not get to see any others.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To that point then, I'm just drawing the analogy that in a cooperative or a consortium of organizations that would solicit an RFP from your organization, whether the, you call it a group or a supergroup, it is a group. So, and if you're providing health insurance benefits, where's the distinction between what you can and cannot provide as a service to that supergroup?
Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative, the services we're allowed to provide are group insurance coverage. If you're referring to the RFP, it's not requesting group insurance coverage. At least that's not evident from the title page. It's not a request for group insurance coverage. It's a request for administrative services. But there's a very strong distinction between the two.
Representative Albright.
So it would be my understanding that the title page, the RFP that you have in front of you, is requesting TPA services?
Mr. Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative, I believe you could characterize medical claims and administrative services as TPA services, yes.
Representative Albright.
So you are not a TPA?
Mr. Anderson?
Madam Chair, Representative, that is correct. We are not a TPA.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Little.
I had asked a question earlier about of the 20 quotes that were done, how many of them ended up going with PEEP. Can I get that number?
Mr. Byrne.
I can't give you an exact number, but I think it was two or three schools enrolled for during that period of the last 6 months of the year after HIDA was put into effect.
And Representative Luna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The when I was on the school board in Shakopee, and we would go out for quotes, not uncommon, but not always, the insurance entity that would bid would provide a service looking at your segment of saying, okay, well, you've got looking at the market as far as what typical claims were and enriching the coverage there, and claims that were very unlikely to happen and that it may not be a good use of dollars to purchase that coverage, so you negated it away. That was all part of the package. And it doesn't sound like that's part of this at all. And I understand that. I just, what I remember back then, and as an insurance person, that over time that data becomes more concise. And so I have a question for the committee regarding the requirement to go out for bids every 2 years, rather than establishing a relationship or a data relationship with some type of entity to look at what's going on in that book. I'm assuming there's a lot of data privacy problems where if I have them insured through my carrier and all of a sudden they transfer over to yours, whether that information about those individuals is allowed to be shared according to the HIPAA law. And so I see a benefit in having a longer-term relationship with an entity just to get basically to buy a suit that fits you better.
Well, and Representative Lunan, we do have some school districts that are here that could probably speak to that, and maybe we should bring some of them forward. If Mr. Anderson and Mr. Byrne, if you could stick around, too, in case there's some follow-up questions to that. But I think I'm first going to call. I've got the Judy McDonald with the Osseo Area Schools. Next up in deck, we've got the White Bear Lake, Wayne Kazmarek. I'm going to need some help on that name. If the two of you could come down, and then next will be Prior Lake, Rosemont, and Minnetonka. But Ms. McDonald, if you could introduce yourself for the record and what organization that you are with. And then just to repeat, Representative Lunan, maybe you can speak to your question for Ms. McDonald. That's helpful. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and representatives of the committee. My name is Judy McDonald, and I'm the Executive Director of Human Resources at Osseo Area Schools.
Thank you, Ms. McDonald. We had a question here from Representative Lunan, kind of speaking to longevity and that kind of relationship. You want to repeat it, Representative Lunan? I think that might be helpful.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. McDonald, the data I was looking for is in a district the size of yours, of course, it differs in demographics from other districts, and that there's coverage that makes sense to spend money on, and there's coverage that it makes sense to exclude. And in your going out for requests for proposals from different entities, whether it's PEEP or commercial or private sector, is that information or is that service brought to you at all by anyone?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, as far as the service goes, we're a split district. We are not a PEEP district. However, two-thirds of our employee group or of our workforce is do receive their health insurance from PEEP. So we have kind of a quandary there, but however, to address your question, we have enjoyed a partnership with our health insurance carrier Health Partners for over 10 years. In accordance with state statute, we went out for bid, and now we're required to switch carriers. As a result of the process, we were required to follow. During our partnership with Health Partners, we enjoyed a 0% increase for the last 5 years, and just recently we're looking at a 5% increase last year. So overall, we've averaged 1.25. increase over the last 5 years. And that's through, when I talk about a partnership, that's working very carefully with our carrier to look at claims information to see what's trending in our employee workforce, to leverage more consumerism in our health insurance coverage so that our employees also begin to learn more about implications of choices they make related to their health care. So this year, because of the new legislation, we will be changing carriers to Preferred One.
And Ms. McDonald, is that something that you would have done naturally, or it's just because of the law you said that you had to do it? Explain to me why you had to do it.
Madam Chair, the reason we had to do it is because with the new law, and we have to go with final bid. In the past, we would go back and negotiate with our carrier and say, we want to continue our relationship because we have that longevity. We have a good suit that fits. But we were unable to because of the legislation. We're not allowed to do that.
And Ms. McDonald, is there concern about that as far as, you know, what kind of level of service that you receive? How does that work? Or do you have concerns about that? Or are you fine with the end product?
We do have concerns about that. It's going to require change for our employees. Naturally, change can be concerning. Fortunately, we did secure an acceptable renewal rate, so the impact will be more to the employees than the district finances. However, we're also talking about significant challenges we had related to claims information. I believe you have a report out there that represents the claims information we received from PEEP as a part of the process. Because we are, do you have the information there?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only information we were able to get from PEEP when we went out for renewal. Considering that we had a split workforce, we needed the claims information. This is what we received, but it didn't provide the information we need to really analyze the data and work with the proposed carriers to determine what the actual renewal rate should be. Some of these claims could be one-time catastrophic events that maybe we would not want to include in our future. However, that information was not available to us, and when we had requested claims information from PEEP, they notified us that we were a PEEP district and that the legislation did not apply to us. We're not a PEEP district. We have two-thirds of our workforce are in PEEP, and so we believe we had to comply. We've since submitted a question to the Attorney General to get an opinion, and that's still on hold.
And Ms. McDonald, do you know what would happen if you hadn't done that? Was there a concern about liability, or and what's the time frame for you on that? And then you also had mentioned earlier that your employees are carrying the extra burden of having to change carriers. What does that quantify out to be?
Madam Chair, the employees now will be able to go to their current health care provider. However, all the information and their history will be at Health Partners. They will need new insurance cards. They will need to learn to navigate an entirely different TPA. So there's a lot of change that our employees will have to deal with because of this change. In addition, now that we don't have our group together, we also can't initiate very much as far as it relates to wellness activities. Our contract with Preferred One provides us with some money for wellness activities, but it's about two-thirds less than we can use. However, we cannot just engage in wellness activities for one-third of our workforce. So we're going to have to spread that money out among 3,600 employees. So there are some significant impacts to our employees, and we also don't have that continuing partnership with Health Partners. So it's a significant change.
Okay. And when you, Ms. McDonald, all they said is that you couldn't go back, you were a PEEP district, and this is all the data that you received from PEEP then. Okay. I just want to make that clear. Okay. Members, any questions for Ms. McDonald or any additional comments for Ms. McDonald? We got Representative Lane and Representative Schultz. Representative Lane.
Could you explain to me how two-thirds of your members get services through PEEP, but you're not a PEEP district? How do you explain that?
Madam Chair,
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative Lane. Yes, our Education Minnesota groups, which represents our teachers, our paraprofessionals, our Kid Stop employees, for the most part, voted to go to PEEP 2 years ago. And they have that ability under statute.
And that was existing prior to the HIDTA law?
Madam Chair, yes, that's correct.
Representative Lane.
And so who does that leave?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, that leaves all of district management, our custodial group, our nutrition services group, and some other support staff, smaller support staff groups in our employees.
Representative Lane.
Thank you.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How much did it save your district to go to PEEP Preferred 1 compared to Health Partners on an aggregate base and a per-member base?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, nothing. It saved us nothing.
Representative Schultz.
So you went, why were you forced to go to Preferred 1 and not Health Partners?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
So you said you were forced to go to take the Preferred 1 bid. Was it a lower bid than Health Partners' bid?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, it was lower.
So potentially it would have saved you money?
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So it potentially would have saved you money? If you would have went to Health Partners instead of Preferred 1, you would have been paying more money? Is that true?
Ms. McDonald, can you explain how you had talked about how Health Partners, you go back and renegotiate that part. Can you talk about how typically the bid process worked for you in the past prior to the HIDTA law?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative. In the past, we would go out for bid and we would secure quotes. And then once we received the final quotes in, we would go back to Health Partners and we would say, we want to continue our partnership with you. We need you to either match this quote or let's adjust some of the plan design or do whatever because we want that continuation of support and service. Because of the new legislation, once the bids are final, they cannot be changed. So currently what we would have done is gone back to Health Partners and said, we received a 2% decrease in premium quote from Preferred 1, so we would have gone back to Health Partners and negotiated with them and said, you know what, we really want to stay with you, we have great longevity, and can you bring it down a little bit? And we weren't able to do that this time.
So, Ms. McDonald, so whoever gets the final bid, you're just stuck with whatever it is. You have no room to renegotiate or say, no, we want this. That's just what you're stuck with in the end. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, yes, that's correct.
Representative Schultz, any further questions? Okay, we've got Representative Nelson and then Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I kind of wanted to ask this question to Mr. Anderson and Mr. Burns, but I guess my understanding is that they give you a low bid. They don't try and underbid. I guess the question and more of a comment here is, years past, I was on a group that the public employer I was working for had put their insurance out for an RFP because the insurance rates at that time were going through the roof. And so on this committee that I was on, the major groups came to us with their RFP, explained what it was, and the one employer who was the current supplier of our health insurance, and I'm not going to name companies because I'm not going to get into that, but they came to us, and we were all shocked when they came to us and said, you can't switch from us. And we go, pardon? We can't switch from you? Well, we underbid this 3 years ago to get the product, to get your business, figuring that we're going to make it up by raising rates along the way, and we're going to make our profit. We bid this at a loss. And I know companies, all kind of companies, when they bid at times, will bid at a loss to get the business to move into it. But they were saying, we're still underwater. We haven't made enough money off of you, and so you can't switch from us. Needless to say, when they went through the process, the employer decided not to go with that company because and got a better quote from one of their competitors. Again, that's part of the competitive process. My understanding is PEEP can't do that or doesn't do that. They're not bidding. They don't have a profit to share across other groups of people that they can charge. So they're bidding at the cost of this. And I think the bill that we passed last year only said that as you go out for your bids, and it's part of the due process, and we want to make sure that our local school districts, in this case, get competitive bids, save money on our taxes along the way, is get a competitive bid from PEEP. If it's, we're not saying you got to go with PEEP, but you know, get a bid from them to see if it's comparable. And you know, like the testifier here said, that they've gone, when they've gotten bids from Health Partners, and maybe it was higher than a bid they got from Medica or somebody else in town, they said, well, we kind of want to stay with you. What can you do to adjust this so that, you know, we can say we got a competitive bid? Because otherwise, I think our state laws say that you have to go with the lowest comparable bid. And so, I mean, we can't do that with PEEP. And the idea is here is to say, give us a bid from PEEP. That's what we passed the bill last year, and give us the bid from PEEP, and so that you have something to compare it with. And I don't see anything wrong with that. We have other statutes that we require, depending on the amount, size of the bid, multiple bids from different people to go forward. And I think we're just kind of on a witch hunt, it sounds like to me, that we're going after PEEP for somebody's perceived that, again, the National Joint Powers Authority was asking for something that PEEP doesn't supply going forward, and we don't supply those services. And they're saying, well, we asked for a bid and we didn't get it. So, I mean, I don't understand what's going on here. So, well, thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Nelson, my concern is, first and foremost, that the state allocated money to PEEP to do the bid process. They have not done the bid process. On top of that, we've just heard from testimony that PEEP was at 1.7% rate, and the Osseo School District was doing a 1.25% rate. So obviously the school district themselves, they are very conscientious about the resources that they have and want to make sure that they are able to save money for their employees and also offer a product that their employees can rely on and like. And so my concern with this is that we are forcing them to jump through some hoops that is adding to their overall burden and is not giving them a return on that benefit. Every school district can receive a PEEP bid if they wish to do so, and that was prior to the HIDTA law. So instead what we're doing is we're mandating that we do this, and it's adding to their overall burden. And I'm especially concerned, too, that PEEP isn't following the guidelines, the law, that was passed last year, and they're not providing the data that school districts need to make well-informed decisions. And that is even more alarming to me, in that they are not providing the information that they're required to do and are violating the law. But Representative Nelson, any follow-up?
Well, Madam Chair, and I, like I said, it require them to get a bid from PEEP along with other bids, I don't think is that onerous, because they have to get bids every so many years anyway for their insurance. So require them to get a bid from PEEP, I don't see as that onerous. The discussion that or the best testifier said that it made such a huge burden on their employees. Well, if they made a decision as a school district that Health Partners' bid was out of line and we were going to go with Medica or we were going to go with Preferred One or some other company, they would have had to go through that whole process of switching providers, switching doctors, you know, getting new health cards, all that. That is not anything different than if they, whether they got a PEEP bid or not, if they had gone with a different supplier or a different provider. So, again, I don't see what we're trying to go after here, so, Madam Chair. And I think the bill that last year that provided money for PEEP, because we were requiring them, it was a guesstimate about how much new business they were going to have to do, that there was going to be a cost to the state, and that was providing us providing PEEP the cost that was going to be there that we were imposing on PEEP. And that's what the cost, and that's what the $394K was about. So, Madam Chair.
Well, thank you, Representative Nelson, but I think what we heard here today is when they have to go through final bid, instead of them having 5 years of longevity with a company or however many years, I think you said it was 10 years actually, now when they go out every 2 years, because that's what they're required to under HIDTA, they're going to go out for bid every 2 years, and they could have a different company providing their insurance coverage every 2 years. So with that, we have a couple of folks. We've got Carlson, Nash, Albright, and Lunan. And then after that, we're going to hear from the rest of the school districts. So Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I have a question. It's really a follow-up of Representative Schultz's. You testified that we required you, or the state law required you, to go with the low bid, and you said you didn't save anything. But what was the difference between those bids, because it was a lower bid? And I know you indicated you had the desire, or in the past you could go back and do a second round of negotiations, so maybe there's a certain assumption there, but that lower bid must have had a number attached to it. There must have been a savings either to the individual staff person or a savings to the school district overall. And what I'm trying to get a handle on, and I had it before Representative Schultz asked her question, I had essentially the same question. So how much lower was that bid that you were locked into?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, for 2015-16, it was 2% less than our current premiums. However, the next year had a rate cap of 13%. So with our new preferred one carrier for our first year, we're enjoying reduced premiums. However, we anticipate once we receive additional claims information that number will be significantly higher the next year. So what we've done is only entered into a contract for 1 year.
And that,
Representative Carl,
is a savings then of 2%.
With the potential to go up to 13%, correct, Ms. McDonald?
Madam Chair, Representative, that's correct. For 2% in year one and a rate cap of 13% in the following year.
But, Madam Chair, if I understood what you just said, you can go out for another bid for the second year or not?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, our intention is that we will go out to bid, or at the very minimum, we will convert to a self-funded platform.
Representative Carlson.
Okay, so the Madam Chair, the 13% may or may not take place.
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, that is correct. It depends on the experience ratings and many other variables.
And you only signed a contract for 1 year with an anticipation that it would go up as high as 13%, correct?
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Nash, Albright, Lunan. Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, thank you. Ms. McDonald, question for you. You noted that the impact to your individual employees has gone up as a net result of this. Can you tell us what that impact to them is?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, the impact relates to a complete change in how things are reported. For example, right now our employees can log on to our carrier's insurance website and receive evidence of insurability claims and all those kinds of things, because we go directly with health partners. Now that we're going through Preferred One, we have an additional tier there. So our employees will need to learn how to gather information through Preferred One as opposed to health partners. So that's number one. They also will have brand new insurance cards. We've changed the plans, so they need to learn that. And also you're talking about changes in network and out of network and all those kinds of things that change whenever you change carriers.
Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, you know, the first observation that I would make is that in light of your response to a question just previous about a net reduction in 2%, I think it goes to the point of what Representative Nelson said. And being from the insurance business, insurance companies sometimes do underbid their coverage, just knowing that they've got a guaranteed term. You and as much much said that rather than the carrier being surprised by a follow-up bid, they basically told you what your increased premium is going to be as they reduced their premium in the first year and then told you you're going to have a cap of a no more than a 13% increase in the second year. So to the point of good business or not, they at least told you, you know, what you're expecting in that second year. So to the point of what we've heard in committee so far, the concern that I have is that you're taking out the momentum that you have with a provider, distracting them away from innovation and some of the other op-eds that you might hear, you know, in that conversation, and leading towards more of a transactional. But I think it's a nuanced response, because rather than going to each provider based upon a first pass on, technology. It leads me to believe that you're going away from a relationship with your provider, and it's probably one of the most important relationships that a patient has is with their healthcare provider, and you're creating one that's purely transactional. And I would dare say that comments can be made about cost savings and whatnot, you really are not subject to true cost savings, because you are obligated to accept the low bid without understanding of what that all considers in terms of the relationship that can be defined by that provider. And so I take exception with some of the comments about just accepting the low bid, and you know, good business is good business, and it doesn't always come at the behest of a lower premium because of wellness care, because of the relationship you have in the community with providers that might provide you with opportunities that are a value-add proposition to what is in the contract. So the subtlety and nuancing from obligated to take the low bid and actually work at a relationship with a provider is something that I think should not be lost on the committees, the membership around this table.
Okay. Representative Lunan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The and to that point, as far as the relationship with the carrier, the it seems to me, coming from an insurance background, that would be, rather than from bidding period to bidding period, it would be more appropriate if we took a look at allowing a carrier to enter into a longer contract. I agree with Representative Nelson that the company comes in and does a lowball bid. My assumption, I'd be willing to bet on this, that they do that all inside that contract, that they lowball the first year of the contract, figuring that whatever the length of that contract is going to be, they are going to attempt to make that up if they're in the negative. And that's why that would tell me, again, going out for bids every 2 years is potentially problematic, but that's just something to throw out there. Also, the difference between doing a continued negotiations, as Representative Carlson had mentioned, versus give us your best bid. I've been someone who's had to submit a bid, and I do see benefits, and you can't go back and say, well, now lower your bid a little bit because I've got this one in my hand, because that carrier is going to be very reticent to leave money on the table, whereas it's you got one shot, and I get that, and it puts all the pressure on you to get that number down as low as possible. A third point I'd like to make is that in accepting the low bid, however, you can in fact deny the lowest bid, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's cause, if in fact there's a difference between the two proposals and that there's something outside of the price that would trump that, but it would be an assumption, and I'm not an attorney, that that would have to be contractually in the request for proposal to do that.
Ms. McDonald, do you have the option to reject the final bid?
Madam Chair, Representative, there is an option, and I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe it relates to a potential change in aggregate value. In the plan design, the carriers cannot always mirror current plan designs that we've been providing to our employee groups, and so potentially if we go to a different carrier and there is a change in aggregate value, that could be subject to the grievance process.
Yeah. Representative Lowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And would that have to be stated in the RFP, that's going to be factored in there, that it isn't just this specific criteria? Or can you kind of go outside of that and say, well, if somebody's coming in with a better proposal and you're contending that we should buy oranges instead of apples, we have the right to pick oranges?
Ms. McDonald.
Madam Chair, Representative, I'm not exactly sure, so I would have to find out information about that.
Thank you.
Members, now we do have other school districts that are here, too, to give some thoughts, so we're going to go to them next, and then after that we'll follow up with any questions that members have. So I've got... can you help me out with your name?
Wayne Kazmierczak.
Kazmierczak.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Kazmierczak, if you can introduce yourself for the record and state what school you're with.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wayne Kazmierczak. I'm the Director of Finance and Operations with White Bear Lake Area Schools.
And Mr. Kazmierczak, your feedback on this issue, if you could, please.
Sure. I'm here just to share briefly with you White Bear Lake's story from the last few months. First of all, I a couple key points. First of all, as it's currently set up, one employee group can make a decision unilaterally to leave the school district's plan and join PEEP. So when we're talking about, for example, 68 districts being part of PEEP, that's actually not accurate. It's made up of school districts and employee groups that may have made that decision to leave. So in White Bear Lake's story, we had the potential for our largest bargaining unit, our teachers, to leave the district and go to PEEP. And what happened with that was that the insurance carrier that we were working with in the final stages of negotiating, they were not willing to offer us a quote for the remaining groups. So essentially, it would have made all of us join PEEP. And there was not strong support for that, except for the largest group. Another point: there was strong advocacy for PEEP by our teachers' union. And while I think that that certainly is up to our local unions to make the union leaders to make that decision, when the district is analyzing which direction to go with insurance, We're not necessarily doing so in advocating one way or the other until we have actually looked thoroughly at the options before us. And it seemed to me during this experience that there was not that vetting done by our union leaders before there was strong advocacy for that particular group to move to PEEP. So just a comment on, I think the responsibility of school boards and district administrators is to keep in the best interests all employees and employee groups. And as it's currently set up, it seems to undercut, the process currently seems to undercut that very important responsibility. Just a couple more things. As of January 1st, 2015, White Bear Lake did ultimately go to a self-insured plan. We kept our existing plans. Our employee group supported keeping our existing plans and moving to a self-insured set up by a wide margin. Our teachers voted nearly 2-1 to go to keep our plans and move to self-insured. And the other groups that voted, we had about 3 or 4 other groups that voted. 95% of those members voted in favor of keeping our existing plans and moving to self-insured. So that is our story very briefly. I just wanted to share a few of those points and make the point that school boards, at least the school boards I've worked with and the district administrators I've worked with, take health insurance very seriously for all employees. And the fact that groups are able to make that decision unilaterally is problematic as we look at trying to offer the best benefits that we possibly can.
So, Mr. Kazmierczak, are you saying then the group that went with PEEP now is no longer with PEEP because you're going self-insured, no longer with PEEP because you're going self-insured, but you're able to...
Madam Chair, none of the groups left the district to go to PEEP. We all remained.
Okay.
And we're now in a self-insured
model. Okay, great. And if you could stick around, because I know members will most likely have questions for you, appreciate the feedback. I also have from Matt Mons from Prior Lake Savage Area Schools, and then Tome Peterstone. It's Tom. It's just Tom. It's a typo. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was trying to give your name a little flair, so my apologies. If you could come forward, state your name. Obviously, I can't do it, so state your name for the record and the school district that you represent.
I'm Matt Mons. I'm the Executive Director of Human Resources for the Prior Lake Savage Area School District, and I would like to thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I wanted to speak briefly. We have a little bit of a different perspective in that we've been a self-insured district now for 4 years. We've been very successful as a self-insured district. We've had annual renewals of 1.65% over the last 4 years. And in fact, we've taken those increases while building a 48% fund balance in that plan. So essentially, when you do the numbers, we could have actually averaged a minus two in the last 4 years to wind up where we are right now. A little bit about the experience as HIT has been passed is that we had to build a bid out for PEEP this year, and it did cause a couple of kind of interesting things to happen. Number one, it just really didn't make sense to get a self-insured bid. And the reason why that was the case is because as a fully insured bid, rather, because as a self-insured district, we're really looking for two things. We're looking for who can we get the cheapest TPA costs for? So who's going to administrate our claims the cheapest? And then number two, based on where our employees actually access their services, who's got the biggest discounts for us? Which carrier can offer the biggest discounts in those areas? And so when we got the PEEP bids, it simply didn't make sense. It doesn't look like any of our other bids. And in fact, when we looked at what the rates would look like under PEEP, there's nothing to compare it to. We won't even be looking at what our annual rates will be until May. And frankly, we'll be deciding those ourselves. We won't be getting those rates from a carrier. So for us, it has added some to our costs. It's added some to the pressure on our resources. And it simply hasn't made a lot of sense for us.
And Mr. Mons, remind me again, how often do you as a self-insured district have to go out and get the PEEP bid? It was for this first year, and then how often after that?
It would still be every other year unless we negotiate something differently with our largest union. We have a great relationship with our teachers. I don't think that we would have any problem in doing so. That being said, actually, it would be my intention, as it's been our practice, to go out for bid at least every other year, if not every year, because we want to bid out for those TPA services, and we want to make sure that we have the absolute best discounts to offer for our plan so that we can make sure that we're providing the best benefits at the cheapest cost to our employees.
Great. Thank you. And if you could stick around, and if you could say your name.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate being before you today also. My name is Tom Peterstone. I'm Director of Human Resources for the Rosemont-Apple Valley-Eagan School District, and we're a district of over 27,000 students and provide a health self-insured health insurance plan for over 2,700 employees. Much like Prior Lake, we've been self-insured for 3 years. We have averaged 1% increase a year. We've had a great experience. I won't go into any more detail, but we've built a very healthy reserve like Prior Lake during that time with 1% increases also. I very much appreciate the exemption of seeking PEEP proposals for self-insured districts that was included in the HIDA legislation last year. It's our district's priority to make sure we maintain that exemption because of our success self-funding. An area that would be helpful for us to, if we're to be modified, would be the requirement to request proposals every 24 months. This was increased from the every 60 months previously that was in statute. If this could be lengthened to some degree, it would be helpful for us. Our insurance committee is comprised of representatives from all of our bargaining units, not just our teachers, but every one of our 8 bargaining units. And these decisions that those folks go through and make regarding plans and durations for premiums and more so for stop-loss coverage and for administrative services of claims impact all employees and should be a decision that involves all employees. And I would suggest that if we could change this back to the previous 60 months, that would be fantastic. That would be really helpful for us. We don't always just do it every 60 months. We do it when it makes sense. Matt says they do it every year. I think every couple years is very responsible. But there are times when you get a rate guarantee or limitation that may go out a third year. And now to get that, we would have to get the permission of our largest group, not all of our groups. We bring it to our insurance committee and get input from all of our groups and then make that recommendation to the board. I just think it's too narrow in relying on one bargaining group to have to make that decision or you forego that opportunity. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak for you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay. Members for this group, any quick questions we do have? Well, let's do this. Let's get our last two in. Guys, if you can stick around, I would appreciate that. Or one last group, Paul Bourgeois. I think I got it. Yes. From Minnetonka, if you could. State your name for the record, please.
Paul Bourgeois, I'm the Executive Director of Finance and Operations for Minnetonka Public Schools. I've been overseeing the health and self-insured health plans for 10 years at Rochester. From 1994 through 2003, and then again here in Minnetonka from 2008 to 2015. We've been self-insured since 2000. I won't repeat I guess I would echo or support the statements of my two prior self-insured colleagues. The big issue with self-insurance is the collegiality of it. Every district is different. Some districts hire younger teachers. Some districts might hire more experienced teachers. So your health care costs might be different. It allows you to tailor your plan to the needs of your employees. Two things that are very unique about the HIDA law is the need to get a bid from PEEP as a fully insured. It's kind of like putting training wheels on a sidecar of a motorcycle. It's really not needed for a self-insured district. You know, I understand why PEEP was originally put into place. If you're an outstate district where you don't have a lot of options for health coverage, you might not have people or vendors that want to bid or to submit a quote for you. It's a good fallback. It's a good safe harbor. But to put everybody, to try to cram everybody in the same boat, one size really just doesn't fit all. You know, health insurance is so important to everybody. If you think about it, it's the only way you can buy time. And so it is a very personal decision. So the more the decisions can be made at the individual districts, I think the better. The last two comments I'd make would be that I'd like to echo the idea of extending the 2 years to being up to 3 to 4 to 5. We would also go out for quotes more often, probably than 5 years. But the thing about healthcare is costs are probably never going to go down. So you're always fighting the tide of rising costs and trying to keep that tide as low as possible. So for third-party administrative services in particular, and stop-loss, if you have the option for a 2 or 3 or 4, sort of like with transportation, you can lock in prices. So you're locking in a rate for a period of time, so you're hedging yourself against rising costs. You don't necessarily have that over a 2-year time period. And then the other item would be the issue of having one group deciding to go to PEEP and then having that basically collapsing a self-insured fund. In example, at our district, if our teachers did decide to go to PEEP, we still would have enough employees to be a very viable self-insured plan. And we'd like to be able to have that option to do so. But right now, the way the HIDA law is set up, it would collapse our whole fund. And everybody else would have to go to PEEP, whether that was their choice or not. Thank you.
And I have a question for folks. If Mr. Mons and Mr. Peterstone could come back, and if Mr. Bourgeois could stay there, the concern that I have is, since PEEP doesn't provide the administrative services, the stop-loss coverage, sounds like you guys are similar to what the service co-ops are doing. Is these are services that they provide, but it's not an apples to apples comparison. So it's really not getting a good quote system. Is that correct? Did I hear it right, or can you kind of walk me through that?
Madam Chair, yes, Mr. you are Bourgeois. Correct. You are correct in that, you know, PEEP provides, it's a plan. It's not a third-party administrator, and there was previous testimony saying that they were not a third-party administrator provider. As a self-insured district, we will mix and match our benefits based on what our employees want, try to blend in various coverages with various networks, and then go out and ask, you know, providers to basically give us discounts or rates on that, on those, you know, that array, that market basket of services. But what we ask for quotes are is on the administration, which is depending 8 to 10% of expenses in a given year.
Wow. Okay. All right. members, and if Ms. McDonald and Mr. Kazmierczak want to come back, it's too early in the morning to say your name. Sorry. If you guys want to come back, too, I appreciate it. But I've got some members that have some questions. I've got Representative Schultz, Albright, Nash, Nelson. Representative Schultz.
So thank you, Madam Chair. I've been working on health insurance for 20 years and advising the University of Minnesota on their health and medical benefits and dental benefits. So I'm just curious, when you're self-insured, are you offering a high deductible health plan wraparound with a health savings account to your members, or are you offering something similar that teachers could get on PEEP in terms of coverage levels?
And who wants
for us to speak to it from Prior Lake, we offer very similar plans to PEEP. We offer a higher benefit level on our plans to what PEEP has currently. We do have an optional high deductible plan. So we have the gambit from very traditional plans to high deductible plans. In the case that we have a high deductible plan, we happen to pay 100% of the deductible, which makes it pretty affordable for our employees.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And has there been a cost shift to employees going to the self-insurance model?
Mr. Mons?
In Prior Lake, there's not.
And if you could just say, Mr. Peter Stone.
We have not had a cost shift to employees either.
Okay. Minnetonka, Mr. Bourgeois, any comment to that? Or Mr. Kazmierczak, any cost shift to your employees by going self-insured?
Madam Chair, that our costs are defined by negotiated agreements that we have with our different groups. So any cost share that would be, any increased cost share on the district's behalf would be done at the bargaining table. So for us, any percentage increase, so for example, this year when we went into January 1, as we started, we had about an 11.5% increase over the prior year. As it is, and as now as we enter the bargaining sessions, we will be talking about that there. But so that those increases were actually borne by our employees, but that wasn't a function of it being a self-insured plan. No matter where we would have gone, it would have been, because that's a negotiated amount. So that will be brought up at the bargaining table.
Right. And Mr. Bourgeois.
Madam Chair, at this point in time, we don't have any cost shifting or adjustments planned, but any of those adjustments are actually agreed upon by the complete committee, which is, in our case is made up of five members from the teachers' bargaining unit, plus representatives of all the other bargaining units and all the meet and confer units. So we've had some, but if we have something in one area, we do try to tailor it. So maybe something's expensive in one area and we might have to adjust, but we try to get something else involved to kind of balance things out. So it's a very collegial atmosphere if there is that taking place.
Okay. And I've got Representative Albright, Nash, and Nelson.
My question is for Mr. Kazmierczak. In your testimony, you alluded to the fact that the bid from PEEP came in and it was for a selective group of your employees. And I'm wondering if you just expand on that.
Sure, I can expand, Madam Chair.
Mr. Kazmierczak.
I can expand on that. It was actually the bid from PEEP was actually for the whole district. But they would have honored it had our teachers left. They would have. That would have been the amount if that group had decided to go to PEEP unilaterally. That the quoted rate is what they would have received. The rest of us then, the rest of the groups, would have also then gone to PEEP because we weren't able to secure a quote for the rest of the groups. So then, by default, that would have been what the district would have received is what PEEP had quoted.
Representative Albright, one follow-up.
Thank you. And so, to me, there was a bit of a leverage or an inducement to bring the whole group as opposed to what the RFP might have been for?
Mr. Kasmercheck.
The RFP was for the whole district, but as it's currently set up, groups can unilaterally decide to leave. So.
Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, thank you. To the testifiers, thank you for coming. Mr. Bourgeois, it's always nice to see one of my constituents come by. And Mr. Mons, question for you and for the entire group. As I understood it, you said that you would not have normally gone to the bid, but you were essentially forced to do the bid. What was the cost internally of actually doing that, that is then borne by your taxpayers?
Mr. Mons.
If you could tell me some sort of a cost.
Sure, I'm really unable to do that at this point. The reason being that we're also going out for bid this year once again on our consulting services that helps facilitate those processes. We will see that cost in the next couple of months as those bids come in, because that's a new reality for us. But you know, that's also going to be shared with the additional costs associated with the ACA as well. So we will see our consulting, the fees that we pay to consultants go up considerably in this next round. However, I don't have those numbers and couldn't make a guess as to what that will look like.
Okay. Representative Nash, one follow-up. Okay. Representative Nelson and then Representative Petersburg. We are nearing our time, and I think what we'll do is obviously we've got a lot of questions about this issue. We'll probably revisit again. I know I have some follow-up questions for the folks from PEEP. So, Mr. Anderson, I'd like to know the access to data, if you can maybe email that so we can share that with the committee. And then I've got Representative Nelson, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the group up here, I guess. Number one is TPA is our third-party administrator. You're not buying insurance from them. You're buying them administering the claims, all the other stuff, the stop loss. So you're not actually buying insurance, where my understanding PEEP is providing the insurance, and they actually contract themselves for third-party administrator. The other question I guess I have here has to do with your contracts with your bargaining groups. When you set a dollar amount in those contracts, and I've negotiated some of those contracts from the labor side, they're normally they set a dollar amount. We're going to pay X amount of dollars for our employees, and then the employees pick up the other half. And if your reserves don't match what you have as a self-funded plan, you then have to raise the cost of what the insurance that you're providing is, which means that what you're contractually you're going to pay $1,000 for an employee, and if it's $2,000, the employee's going to have to pick up that $1,000 to have that insurance. I guess that's my understanding from how I have in the background, if you don't negotiate it percentage-wise.
Mr. Bourgeois or Mr. Mons or Mr. Peterstone or Mr. Kasmercheck or Ms.
Yeah.
Madam Chair and Representatives.
I'm practicing your names. Can you tell?
Thank you. In our district, we basically typically we'll have a dollar amount. The dollar amount gets adjusted at negotiations, but then we also typically would have a cap. So if there is an increase, the employee might pick up the first part of the cap, but then the district will pick up the rest.
Mr. Peterson.
In our district, in the 3 years we've been self-funded, for instance, we've averaged 1% a year, and if we negotiated to 2% before we knew what that 1% was, it actually reduced what the employee's portion would be. And that's happened repeatedly in our 8 bargaining groups.
Okay. All right, we have Representative Petersburg and then Representative Schultz, and then we need to wrap it up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if these were going to be follow-up questions for Mr. Anderson, so if he's coming back later, I'll delay them till then.
Okay, that sounds good. Representative
I just Schultz. Have a comment. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's easier if you're in a larger district to go self-insured. And I think we're hurting rural Minnesota and greater Minnesota, because many of those school districts will not be able to self-insure because they don't have enough people in the pool. And so they might need the PEEP option as a group health insurance option to get the best rate. So I really think we need to distinguish, because I don't believe we pay school districts based on the cost of their health benefits. Their funding isn't based on that. And maybe it should be, but I really thank you for coming and pointing out the problems with our legislation that was passed last year, and maybe we can work to fix some of those problems.
Great. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it. I know it's bright and early, and you're all here, and I appreciate that very much. We will visit this again. You know, there's concerns that I have is that we do have the Greater Minnesota School District are doing that pooling and using the service cooperatives as a means to do that. So my concern is the law actually meeting the intent, or are we actually adding burdens to our school districts and then add a cost to the state on top of it? So we'll probably be discussing this issue at a greater degree. But thank you, everyone. With that, our meeting is adjourned.